Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello, hello. It is me, your True Hill Phenom SP3. We are live on the Fightful Overbooked YouTube channel. No, this isn't Degrassi, dudes. It's another edition of Nerds of the 90s. And this time we're going to be discussing Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and the late, great Jason David Frank. I am here with my esteemed colleague, the Spinner Mason to my Jimmy Brooks, the Charlie Conway to my Russ Tyler, Steven Jensen.
Thank you very much. Wonderful intro. Speaking of, just right off the top, we'll probably talk about it a little bit more at the end of the show to remind people. The next time you see me and SP3 here, we're trying to do these once a month. The next time you see us, we will review Mighty Ducks Game Changer Season 2 because it'll be over by then. There's only one episode left. We would have done that today, but the timing kind of was perfect as far as, like, there's one week left in Game Changers, and Jason David Frank just happened to pass away this week as far as, like, you know, topics for today. Like, and that's something we're gonna focus on today because I was a huge Power Rangers fan, and I know that our generation, JDF meant a lot to our generation. Jason David Frank, Tommy Oliver, the green / white ranger / multiple other color rangers.
Red ranger / Dino Thunder ranger.
Yes. So we're going to talk about, it's going to be a little somber talking JDF. I think we'll start the show off giving like some memories and talking about Tommy Oliver. And then we'll just talk Power Rangers and the 90s a little bit. I have some of my favorite collectibles here next to me, too, that I've, like, collected for the Green and White Ranger and stuff. So, we'll have a good time talking about some nostalgic 90s stuff. But for the people listening, how was your Thanksgiving?
Yes, let us know in the live chat. We want to know how your Thanksgiving was. Happy belated Thanksgiving. Happy Black Friday, where I know most of our generation starts shopping for Christmas. So happy Black Friday. Enjoy all the sales. Enjoy all of that. Also, show your support. Drop a thumbs up on the video. It always helps. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell to stay notified for all of the content that they have here on Fightful Overbooked. Daily content here on Fightful Overbooked. And I'm glad to be back here with Jensen. And don't worry, the new year is coming. 2023. We'll get back to talking Degrassi. But we just had a couple of things, you know, South Park, Nickelodeon shows, a lot of stuff that we had talked about, you know, at the tail end of the first season of Degrassi, dudes. Right. We had to get into it for Nerds of the 90s now that we're doing these kind of monthly at the moment.
Yeah, right. And also keep in mind, like, Degrassi is supposed to reboot next year, right?
Yeah.
Now, is it 2023 they're supposed to be back? So we'll have, and I'm also way more familiar with the later seasons of The Next Generation now since the last time we talked about Degrassi. So, like, I have a totally different perspective on, like, Claire and Fiona and Declan or even later on, especially Drew. Like, he really became like a real focal point of a lot of it, and I didn't realize how much so until I got more caught up. Becky and Mila and all them, like, it's so, like, we'll redo the rankings list, but from a certain season on. So, like, I'm happy with my rankings for, like, the kind of the OG characters, but then I need to go back and really deep dive again the newer characters that I wasn't as familiar with. We'll have plenty of Degrassi to talk about in 2023. Full disclosure, I never talked about it before on the show, but I'll just bring it up now, so I'll put it out there into the world. Shane Kipple, who plays Spinner Mason, he wants to come on and do an interview with us and talk to Grassi, which is like super epic. But right when we were kind of setting it up is when we had to kind of like take the new format and the break from the show, because with my shoot job, it's just too hard to do these each week.
Yeah,
but that's why we're trying to at least do it once a month for y'all. Oh man, for us, because it's just fun to talk about this stuff. So I'm trying to think, was there anything else before we get into the topics or into the life and the Power Rangers and Jason David Frank and all that stuff?
I believe that's all the stuff that we're gonna, you know, be talking about in the weeks to come and in the next year. So I think we can get into things. Where do you want to start as far as talking about Jason David Frank, who of course passed away late last week, unfortunately, at a very young age, I believe 49 years old. So anything you want to touch on or start on when it comes to Tommy Oliver, in my opinion, the GOAT Ranger?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I mean, it was badass, dude, because I remember I was probably like five when this was happening. Because I mean, we're talking like 1993 kind of stuff. And like, and I still remember it like really vividly for that age.
Yeah.
Because I even remember, I talked about this a little bit with Jeremy on the Spotlight. I've talked a little bit about this as well on The Weekender. But, like, I even remember, like, the only reason I knew that the show Married with Children existed was because it ran before Power Rangers when I was growing up. Like, because I would always make sure I didn't want to miss a second of Power Rangers. So I'd tune in early and catch, like, the end of the show before. I do the same thing with wrestling, like, Walker Texas Ranger would come on before either Raw or Nitro. I can't remember
what it was before Raw. It was before on Raw. USA Network, because I always knew what bookend Raw. It was Walker Texas Ranger, because I would always see the final credit before the show start. And then it was La Femme Nikita, because they would always promote it during the last like half hour of Raw.
That's right. And over on TNT, it might have been like Law and Order or something that would always come on before Nitro.
Also, after all, was Silk Sock Stockings. I remember.
Yeah, that's funny. So like, but that's like to our point, like, because like that back in the day, me and Doug talked about this a little bit on Live Rounds also. Like back in the day when we were growing up, like, you know, there was like the TV Guide channel. For me, it was channel 27, and it would scroll. It wasn't always accurate. You had to wait forever and hope, you know, you saw the channel. But for the most part, like back in the day, we would like, if you had like the HBO channel or something like that, you'd just be watching it and not know what was coming on next. So you would just like sit there and be like, man, I hope it's a movie I like, or like, I hope it's a show that I haven't seen or whatever. But when you knew it was your show, you would always tune in early. So like that was the thing. There wasn't like the DVR. At the most, you had the VHS to record it. And that took so much effort. Like, and then even then, that might get messed up. Like I can't tell you how many times I recorded something on a VHS player and like it overran something I didn't mean to overrun or you know, tape over, or it would like, it would stop before that. Like I remember the worst because Raw would have the overrun. So my thing would always stop at like 11 PM instead of 11:08 or whatever. And I would miss like the very end of Raw and stuff.
And that'd be the best part. That'd be the best part a lot of the time.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So like, or it'd be like the Giants walking to the ring to fight the NWO. You got to tune in next week to see what happened. And we actually didn't have, we have to wait till the next week to see what happened. There wasn't any wrestling community to go talk with about this stuff. Like, especially like not anything like Twitter at the most. You had some websites and eventually some message boards, but dude, so anyway, the my whole point, I guess, is that's how much I love the Power Rangers, how invested I was, is like I would catch the end of the show before, just so I didn't miss a second of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
And it used to come on like weekdays. It used to come on like 5 days a week at the afternoon, because that used to be kind of like afternoon appointment television for kids around our age. Because I was like 5-6 years old when Power Rangers came back, so it used to always be about the rush to get home and watch the Power Rangers and watch what goes down. And especially the reason why I call Tommy the GOAT Ranger is because he had such the most like intriguing arc and everything. Like his initial arc is still, in my opinion, the GOAT storyline.
He came in as the heel. He was the main villain against him. Yeah.
He got possessed by Rita. Rita, you know, took over, made him her special Green Ranger. And it was a 5-episode arc. So yes. I think it started like the beginning of the week. So you had to watch the whole week to rush home to watch what was going down with Tommy. How was Tommy making the Rangers' lives hell? Then after that storyline, you know, he joins the Rangers. Then it was the story of the will they, won't they with him and Kimberly. Yep. And that and was
they,
like, what
they do.
He...
They do.
Yes. They finally do. And that's one of his best moments on the show is when he finally kisses Kimberly. It's like,
was that whenever she passes out when he returns as the White Ranger? Was that the first time? I remember they kissed right after that.
No, it was when he was the Green Ranger, because I was going back and watching a lot of like his clips. He was still the Green Ranger, because then they had the whole story. That another great moment in the Tommy lore is when he's the Green Ranger and he leaves, and then there's the White Ranger introduced, and they don't know who the White Ranger is. So the reveal of him being the White Ranger, I still remember that to this day. And I was like 7-8 years old when that happened.
That's what popped right into my head, because I remember she faints because it's him. And she's like, oh my, like, and he like wakes her up and like kisses her on the ground as the White Ranger.
Yes.
And that's what pops in my head when I think about them kissing. So that's why I was, that's like why I defaulted right to that. Dude, that's so true. It was such, dude, it was, you're right. Like he came in and he was the coolest one. Like he was, and also green's my favorite color. So like, it was like, it all matched up. Like it was like I still remember I haven't talk to this guy in so long, but shout out to, if he ever comes across this, a guy named Michael Veal, who lived in my cul-de-sac when I was a kid. And we were friends when I was, from the time we were probably 5 till we were like 8. And then like he moved, and then we randomly wound up going to the same college and had like a class together and kind of like reconnected for a couple years, kind of crazy. But then I haven't talked to him since college. It's been like, you know, 10 years. But this guy, I remember. So my family, and this is part of the story that's really important to me with all of this that I'll get to in a second, but like the collectibles were like a real big part of my childhood, like going out and like trying to get the toys and stuff. And my family would usually buy me like if they could get like multiple, they'd get like, I don't know how to explain this. When it came to the Green Ranger collectibles, they never got them for me. Because like it was like they could get me like the whole Power Zord with like all of them, so I have like 5 to play with instead of like the one Green Ranger. You know what I mean? So that was kind of like their line of thinking. I think usually was like get him more of them so he has more. Versus now, once the White Ranger came around, they understood that I was obsessed, and it was like they started buying me White Ranger stuff. But so like to this day, I've never owned the Dragon Zord, like the actual Dragon Zord toy. But I had like a lot of the other stuff. Of course, I've showed this off recently, but I've got both these, you know, in my office that
when I saw the clips of him, and I was like, how is it like this happened nearly 30 years ago and I still remember, I associate that tune, that instrumental with Tommy playing the flute to bring the dragons on.
Yes, I need to get my Dragon Dagger fixed, or maybe it's just new batteries. This Saba sword still works really well though. Makes the noises. Nice. And still, you know, you can do the thing with the sword. But like, but what's really important to me about this too, is that, so Tommy was my favorite Ranger. And Power Rangers, like, you know, my mom passed away when I was a teenager, and a big part of my childhood was Power Rangers. And like, I have a really strong connection to it. I think like even more so because like, I remember, it was similar to like Beanie Babies. Like my mom was one of those parents that like she'd go to the store and like wait in those giant lines with like all the other parents and like try to like fight them over like getting the new hot toy, because like they just knew I was so obsessed that like I wouldn't shut up about it. So and they always came through. Like my mom somehow always did. Between my mom and my grandma, they always found a way. Like if it was like a Nintendo 64, it's like my grandma, I remember, worked at Sears when the Nintendo 64 came out. So she was like, hey, I think I might be able to like to set one aside. You know, it's just like, it was always such a big deal to me to get this kind of stuff. So that makes it even more nostalgic for me. It's like my mom knew how obsessed I was with Power Rangers, and she was always buying me Power Ranger stuff because she knew I was so in love with it. So when she passed away, it was always like one of those things where like, I'm going to keep collecting like some of the Power Rangers stuff, because it always like, you know, just always made me feel good to like, I still remember the feeling of like opening like original Power Rangers figures when I got them, just like how excited I would get, you know what I mean? So like, and I'm sure everyone has something like that with it. Just like the nostalgia, because here's the thing. If you go back and watch Power Rangers now, it's not a very good show.
Oh,
no.
You know what I mean? Oh, no. I actually watched an episode that I never watched before because, you know, you're doing this podcast, and I want to get more familiar, or, you know, get off the rust of my memories of Tommy. And I watched it. It was a specific episode. It was when all the Red Rangers teamed up with each other and Tommy was the leader. And I was like, this has some of the worst acting I have seen. You know, quite some time. So I can barely only imagine if I go back to that first season or the first couple of seasons and watch those. I know it would probably be cringeworthy.
Yeah, and yes, so it was called Forever Red. We got some people. Thank you in the chat, y'all. Thank you for being active. I saw it moves a little bit, Caden. You can't see it much on the camera, but it moves just a little bit. So that's another thing I wanted to bring up with Power Rangers. It's been so long running. People might not know, you know, it's a show called Super Sentai. Is that the name of the Super Sentai? It's a Japanese show that they've just been dubbing into English with US actors for the last, you know, two decades, which is so crazy to think about. Like, I remember when I was a kid, I never caught that. But when I went back and watched it recently, I'm like, oh, Rita's mouth doesn't match with like the words at all and stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just funny. Super Sentai. There you go.
Yes.
Sentai. Okay. I had it pretty much right. It's just funny because it's like, it's been popular for so long. But my jam is really like Mighty Morphin, the movie. Yeah. And then, like, just a little bit of the tail end off the movie when they were kind of like the Ninja Rangers or whatever they called them.
I think my fandom goes from, Mighty Morphin. I was there at the beginning. Mighty Morphin, I was like 5-6 years old, like I said before. And, like, those first couple of seasons into the movie, into, I think it was the Ninja Power Rangers next. I was into that because that was the follow-up from the movie. And I think sometime between them going, I believe next was Turbo, and then that's when my fandom kind of faded and I found other things that I was a little bit more interested in. And I think around that time as well, because I always compare my fandom of Power Rangers and how it was kind of appointment television, around like school, is I think my fandom of Pokemon kind of overseeded my fandom of Power Rangers, and that's why my fandom of Power Rangers kind of faded.
Well, and that's the thing with any of these things, right? It's like with so many of these kind of things, even Pokemon, you could say that a lot of the same stuff about, like, if you weren't there during this specific window of time we're talking about and also the right age, you just don't understand what we're talking about. And I completely get that. Like, you know, if you right now aren't 30 to 40 years old, within like that 10-year bracket, you probably don't understand why we like this so much. And then you would say the same thing about Pokemon. You know what I mean? Like, you know, because it's just one of those things where like, it was just like a moment in time, and the culture too. Like the Power Rangers is so 90s, like with the way that they're dressing and the music and like, the fighting is very like 90s, 80s action movie type stuff. And it's like, so it's run for so long, and it's still to this day, you know, they're making, you know, movies and stuff based off of it. But one thing I wanted to bring up that I think is the most gigantic miss in the history of television. Okay. So this is, I don't say this lightly. This is the biggest miss in the history of all of television, all of anything filmed. In the history of the world, okay?
Okay.
I would imagine you know about this, but you wouldn't have known it until later, like me. So, at some point, years after we had moved on from the Power Rangers And that was a big part of it too, to be fair, was they changed the Power Rangers. So like it wasn't like the Zach, Tommy, Jason. It was like new guys and girls, yeah. You know.
And in a lot of ways, it's very comparable to what we talked about with Degrassi. When Degrassi changes class, like it you're either gonna get with the characters or you're gonna lose interest.
Yes, exactly. So there's a lot of combinations and factors. Like we got older, interest changed, the cast changed, you know. There was a lot of factors in you know, finding some other stuff to become a fan of and kind of leaving Power Rangers behind. But the biggest miss in the history of television, years after Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, I don't know what era of Power Rangers this was. Somebody in the chat will absolutely know. They did an episode where they teamed with the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah. I think Kai actually mentioned that earlier in the chat. She said, Turbo was odd. That TMNT crossover was nuts. I remember that. Yes, it was really bad because they hyped that up and made people that even fell off as Power Rangers fans come back, because if you were a Ninja Turtles fan, you wanted to see that crossover. And yeah, it was not good.
Well, but my the reason it was such a big miss is they did it, like, if they would have done that, like, when, like, in the prime of, like, us being Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers fans, like, our age generation, that would have been the biggest thing ever. You know what I mean? Like, they could have marketed the shit out of that forever. Like, we could have been buying Power Rangers, Ninja Turtles crossover figures, and, like, the video games could have been, like, joint video games. Like, if they would have, like, merged that way earlier, because, like, by the time I found out about it, I was like, why did they just now did this? Like, how did you not do this? If you would have done that in like 95, like that would have been huge.
Yeah.
Astronomical. But, and yes, the episode was bad because it was like the weird like TV show turtles with like the bad like head sculpts.
It was, it was that early 2000s version of the turtles, which was
right.
All of them were bad.
Well, they added like the random like,
and they said it was in space. It was Power Rangers.
And they added like the random girl Ninja Turtle. I remember also that was like a part of that show that like wasn't a part of any other Ninja Turtles lore like ever. It was just so random. Like I remember one of them wore like a do-rag instead of like just like the mask. It was like a whole. Like, it went over like his whole head, and I was like, what kind of Power Rangers is this? Like Ninja Turtles is this? I don't recognize any of these Ninja Turtles. Anyways. So, that said, do you want to talk a little bit about Jason David Frank real quick, just like as a person?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had the opportunity to, you know, ever meet him, but everything I've seen of him as far as his interaction with fans and, you know, interviews that he's done in the past, he seems like such a like a genuine you know, nice person. So I don't know if you had any experiences being able to meet him or have friends that have come across Jason David Frank in the past.
So I've never had the opportunity to meet him, and I'm really extra bummed about that now. And it was one of those things where I always figured that I would, because he was so active at those conventions and stuff. Like he was always at that stuff, and that's what makes like his passing even more sad to me, is like if it's true, kind of the reported, you know, like the reason he passed. And I don't judge people, by the way. That's not where I'm going with that at all. My point is like, he had to have known he was so loved, man. Like hundreds of people, every time he went to any of those things, they'd line up. He took pictures with everybody. And he just always seemed like really happy to be around all these Power Rangers fans for so long. Like, cause he's the kind of guy who he could have easily like moved on to something else. Like if you don't want to like be known as the Green Ranger for your whole life, I get that. But like, instead he embraced it. And like that's huge. Like when you're a big fan of something and like the person who's doing it thinks it's lame, it makes it lame to you too. You know, like if the Green Ranger was walking around for the rest of his life, like, man, if some fucking asked me, if I'm the Green Ranger 25 fucking years ago, like get over it. You know, like they'd make me be like, well, shit, I don't like the Green Ranger anymore, I guess. But you know what I mean? But like,
yeah,
he was so like, hell yeah, I'm the Green Ranger and the White Ranger. You know what I mean? Like, come up, like let's get pictures. So this is one of my favorite things that I own. And even now it means even more. It's one of my favorite possessions. I do have a signed Funko Pop of his, Green Ranger, Tommy Oliver, which I'm not going to sell. You know, that's not my prerogative at all. But like,
yeah.
I have noticed that those things, they've skyrocketed. They're probably selling on eBay for 4 times what they were when I bought it right after he passed. And I don't like that people do that kind of stuff. I get there's a business behind all that. I don't like it. But like, I just want to throw that out there. Like, I'm really happy I have something of his with like his signature, just like, because like I said, I always felt like I was gonna meet him. Like, it was gonna be no problem. Like, I was in incredible shape. He was still fairly young in like the grand scheme of things. And here's the thing that people that might not really understand about him. He was a true martial artist. Like,
yeah,
like this wasn't some like Steven Seagal bullshit where he like, you know, fucking pretends to throw people around with bullshit Aikido and like calls himself a fucking sensei. Like, Jason David Frank was so good at his discipline of martial arts, which I'm not as familiar with, like taekwondo, karate.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Like, what he was really good at, he became, you know, like, the highest level you can be, the top belt with, like, the most amount of stripes, like, you can get. So, and he was so good that he became, like, the grandmaster of, like, his own style of that. And yeah. And just super, super, super well respected in the MMA and just combat community in general. And one thing I got to bring up, and this is not people know how I feel about CM Punk. I've talked about this in other shows too, but I was going to bring that up
that you and JDF have that in common with CM Punk.
Well, so here's the thing with for people that don't know, Jason David Frank actually did fight some MMA, like some actual real MMA fights like 10 years ago. And the guys he fought weren't very good, like, to be honest, but like he beat the shit out of them. Like, JDF went in there and just did work on these people and like embarrassed them. And it was like, you're coming here trying to embarrass me. Like, one of the guys I remember came out to the ring either wearing like a Power Rangers mask and, or like he came out to the Power Rangers theme song, like mocking him, and JDF yeah. beat the shit out of him. And it's just like, so he had been calling out CM Punk for years, to fight him, not, you know, in the UFC or wherever. And my issue with Punk is not that he wouldn't fight him, because if I was Punk, I wouldn't fight him either. Like, it would be a really bad idea for CM Punk.
Pick one struggle.
Not even gonna get into all the skill difference, but my issue that I always had with it was when he would be asked about it. And there's video clips of this you can find on YouTube. I'm not just like saying this because I'm a hater or whatever. Like, you can literally find it. He would laugh it off because he called him a celebrity. And like, he was like a freak show fight. And like, CM Punk essentially felt that JDF was beneath him. Like CM Punk was this UFC fighter who was above fighting the Power Ranger celebrity, Jason David Frank. And that always really fucking bothered me, because there's a lot of people that take CM Punk's word as gospel, that yeah. chanted his name for 7 years while he was gone, while he didn't give a fuck about y'all and bailed and didn't want to even talk about wrestling for all that time. And y'all still defend him. And he's out here talking about Jason David Frank like he's some sort of joke. Like, I hated that, man. That was so wrong. Like, for him to put it out there, because there's so many people out there that don't know that would hear that and just be like, oh, well, yeah, fuck the Green Ranger. Like, why should he get a fight yeah. against CM Punk? And it's like, because he's an actual martial artist. Like, it would have been so uncompetitive. So it's just one of those things where it's like, it just bugs me. That's just another one on the list of like, when people are like, why don't you like CM Punk? It's like, well, here's one reason. Here's another one. Here's another one. Here's another one. Here's another. I mean, I can go all day with this kind of stuff. And it's just like, it's messed up. Like, I wish the fight would have happened. And here's the thing. Had CM Punk just said, listen, I don't want to fight the guy, he's been doing martial arts literally his entire life, and I just started, like, that would have been fine.
Yeah, it would have
been. That would have been totally fine. Like, I would have respected that answer. Like, that's totally, totally respectable. Like, that's honest, and that's just is what it is. Like, hey, this guy's been fighting forever. I just started fighting. This is unfair. Why would I do this? Facts. But
that takes a level of self-awareness that I don't think he has.
Right. Exactly. So it's like, you know, instead he would just clown it and joke about it and talk about how he was above doing that. And it's just like, so you're above fighting an actual martial artist who's also, by the way, like famous. Like, this isn't like you losing to some nobody. So instead, take a fight with a guy named Michael Jackson, actual name Michael Jackson, who's a part-time fighter who held you down and tickled you in the middle of an octagon. Like that, like that's like you're above fighting a Power Ranger, but you're cool with fighting a part-time fighter who can hold you down and tickle you. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Come on, man.
Oh man, you gotta love the logic there, or lack thereof.
This doesn't make any sense. Like, if you really get your ass kicked, at least get your ass kicked by someone legitimate.
Yeah, who's an actual skilled fighter. But yeah, he's got a lot of, you know, a lot of people didn't realize that, or might have not realized that he was actually doing everything, you know, that he was doing on the show, Jason David Frank. To go over a little bit of you know, his history on the show, we gave a little bit, you know, in the early portion of here, but I wanted to read from the Power Rangers fandom wiki.
I'm gonna say, I hadn't even looked, but I imagine they have that. Like, Degrassi has one. Like, yeah,
if Degrassi got one, you know, the Power Rangers gotta have one. It's called Ranger Wiki, and it says that Tommy Oliver is the longest serving Power Ranger of all time. He started as a transfer student at Angel Grove High School, who was brainwashed by Rita Repulsa to become the Green Ranger, and fought the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, serving as the central antagonist of the five-part miniseries, Green with Evil. After the Rangers freed him from Rita's spell, Zordon created the White Ranger powers as a replacement for the depletion of the Red Ranger's energy. Later, when the team discovered the Zeo Crystal, Tommy was chosen to become the Zeo Ranger V-Red of the Zeo Rangers, and later the first Red Turbo Ranger of the Turbo Rangers. After he retired his powers to TJ Johnson and graduated from college, he discovered the Dino gems and became a teacher at Reeveside High and become the Black Dino, the Black Dino Ranger, and of the Dino Rangers. So
nice.
There you
he
go.
Came back multiple times, like when they had, like when they needed. Because I think in the Forever Red one, is that the one where it's like all the Red Rangers, and then he appears with like at the end, and he's like, "We got your backs," or whatever. And it's like, it's Tommy. It's like, what? Wait, what's Sid? You good? What's that mean? I'm like trying to keep up with the chat.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Katie.
Your name's Sid. I'm sorry, Sid on the C3.
But I don't know why he's. I don't know why he's. Actually,
I think it's because you're saying Dino Ranger instead of Dino Ranger. I think that's what it is. You have the thing going where Jim Cornette calls Luchasaurus Dino instead of Dino. but yeah, here's a couple. This is new. These just came out on Amazon like within the last like few months, but they're like these giant figures. Like, these are the original size, and like these are humongous. But I've got a couple of those laying around. A couple other. Check this out, dude. Power Rangers vintage from 1995 yarmulkes.
I'm done. You had Power Rangers yarmulkes,
dude. I tweeted these like two Hanukkahs ago. And the Red Ranger immediately followed me, Austin St. John.
Yeah.
And the Blue Ranger commented, like, "Where did you find these?" Like, I don't know if he's Jewish or what, but he was like, "Dude, where did you find these?" So yeah, I have a vintage 1995 Power Ranger yarmulkes sitting here.
Oh, I love it.
I've got a lot of stuff. I'm not going to show it all because it'd take forever. I've got this. This is fairly new that I've gotten. This is 1994.
Is that like a mini arcade?
Good guys are here. Small for time.
And when you put money in it, it's like, it like makes money, it like makes noise. And then when you take money out of it, it's like intruder, intruder. Like someone's like, cause it's a bank. It's a arcade piggy bank.
That's awesome.
Got a little White Ranger helmet here. I always keep that around. And these are newer. These are like the Super 7. They come with like a really nice card on them with like a picture. But I unbox most of my stuff just so I'm out of room. But yeah, so I got some green and white Ranger stuff that I always keep around me in my office, and of course my weaponry. My dagger and my sword.
Your dagger and your flute, basically.
people were talking about the Blue Ranger, David Yost. He was apparently bullied because he came out as gay way later on. I think like they must have known or whatever, and like it was fucking 90s, and you know, people were not cool about that like they are now. Which is obviously very messed up. We don't condone that at all. But
no.
I'm happy that he seems to be doing good now, because like I saw a couple years ago that David Yost, if I remember correctly, and I love, there's Power Rangers fans in the chat. Like these people know what they're talking about. I love this. I think that he was trying to put together a script for like a new Power Rangers with like the original cast minus Trina, who passed away years ago. The original Yellow Ranger, but Dave, oh sorry, like they are not, well, it's gotten a lot better, Justin, but no, I know what you mean. Me and SP3 are both very, like, we're allies here, like we're, you know, my point was that things have gotten better, but it isn't perfect.
No, it's definitely not perfect. No,
definitely not perfect. Things have definitely gotten better since the 90s as far as like people's opinions on
exactly
on the LGBTQ plus community, like it's absolutely gotten better since then, but yes, definitely not perfect still. I'll absolutely agree with that. But it really sucks. But it sucks that he was bullied, as of course. Yeah. But I'd seen recently that he I think he was trying to put together a script for like a new Power Rangers movie or something with like the originals. And I mean, I don't know how far along that got, and I don't know if they can even do it without JDF. But that's it dude, what a bummer though, man. Like, just the show is so good though, like as far as like for our age. But it sucks that Tommy's passed away, or it sucks that Jason David Frank has passed away. Because they were gonna be mentors from whatever. See, that's the thing, is like my memory for Power Rangers gets so fuzzy after a certain point, because there are certain episodes I remember really well and certain villains I remember really well. And I mean, let's just be honest, every episode of the Power Rangers was the same exact episode. So like, so it would start and it would be the kids, like the teens in like
school or or at their version of the Max.
I almost called it the Max just now. And you know, there's some at some point Bulk and Skull walk, brown, 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 and then walk up and do something idiotic, and you know, they're like they're the Bulk and Skull of Power Rangers. I mean, they're the original just nitwits of this kind of stuff. But they also had their own figures, which I thought was cool. They had like the little like plastic ones that didn't move. They had some Bulk and Skull ones back in the day. kind of cool. But so that's how the episodes would always start. It would just be them like in like their like human form or whatever, some sort of conflict. Rita would
hear Rita coming up with a plan. She would be like, I'm going to send the putties down there and bother the Rangers.
Right. Well, it would always initially be like, it would be like her with like, was Finster the name of like the guy who would make the clay into the...
It was her sidekick.
And then of course Goldar was like the main sidekick to her. And then Lord Zedd wound up being like it became like a whole ranking pecking order of like villains. But like back to the point though, like so this episode would always start like that, like some sort of conflict. Rita would like decide on some sort of monster or something. They'd like beat up the monster in like its small form, and or always beat up just a ton of putties. I mean, yeah. And then eventually the putties would start exploding if you hit him in the Z in the middle of the chest. But then the Power Rangers would lose. Well, actually, this is what it would be. The Power Rangers would beat up a bunch of putties, and then the Power Rangers would lose a fight in their human form to like the monster, like at like regular size, and then they'd have to all morph together and defeat it as like once the monster became humongous, they would have to morph.
They would play the theme song when that happened. When they all combine their power, go go Power Ranger, and the whole fight scene would be the theme song.
Yes, exactly. And of course, like before they would like suit up, you know, they have to, you know,
it's morphin' time.
Oh yeah, dude. So sick. I don't want to move around my office too much, but like I got a little morphin' here too. But like it's dude, yeah, and like Dragonzord, you know what I mean? It was always like, you know, just go, you know what I mean? Like every time you saw it, it was the same clip every time too. It wasn't like some new thing each week.
No, they would play the same clip because why would you do that clip over and over again in the script? No, just play the same clip. It's like Jazz being thrown out the house on Fresh Prince. Just play the same clip. You knew when Jazz wore that shirt, he was getting thrown out the house. You know when the Rangers are morphing, it's the same clip over
and
over.
Yes. So, I mean, so every episode was very formulaic. The acting was not very good. The fight scenes were very, very fake, but a lot of fun to watch as a kid. And all those things said, this show just ruled. Like if you were the right age, the music, it just got you so pumped. Like the Go-Go Power Rangers. And like, I mean, this just hit you right in the 1990s if you were, you know, less than 10 years old. I mean, even if you were older than that, I'm sure there were a lot of teenagers that were like into Power Rangers because it was just like, there wasn't really anything like it. Like, you know, you might have been into like pro wrestling, which was kind of similar in certain ways, but like MMA really wasn't around. And it's like, so, and like you had action movies and stuff, but like to be able to watch it every day after school, I think that was a big part of this too. Like every day, get home from school, and you got to watch your favorite superheroes just beating up bad guys. And on top of it, like they're these cool teenagers you look up to. Like I wanted to be just like Tommy Oliver. I had a big crush on Kimberly. Like it was like, you know, it was just perfect for its time. And it was timeless. And like I said, I think a big reason why I like it so much as an adult still is because of the way that the Rangers, like JDF and the rest of them, honestly, all the other Rangers that I've noticed, they all have just really embraced it over the years, and they love, you know, meeting the fans even to this day. Ninjor, was that the giant blue ninja thing that like that was like after the movie? Do you remember
I think on the Ninja Power Rangers?
Yeah, I think he was like a giant blue Zord looking thing, if I remember correctly. I get really fuzzy once it gets past the movie.
Yeah. Once it gets past the movie, that's why I was like, we should definitely talk about the movie because that was a big thing. That made everybody realize how big the Power Rangers had got is when they gave them a movie.
Remember, I think that might be the first time I remember hearing Another Brick in the Wall by Pink Floyd, because there was like a scene in that movie where that song's playing in the background, and it's like when they're like, I think, do they turn like the kids into zombies or something in the movie? I haven't seen that movie in so long.
Oh yeah, because it was Ivan Ooze. Ivan Ooze gets there. All the kids are like, you see all the kids, or is it the adults? It's either the kids or the adults are like freaking zombies.
They walk out
their house at this. I think it was the adults actually.
Because I just remember like someone getting possessed or something. I just remember, unless I'm losing it, and I just have, which is very possible, like I'm just remembering.
It's been so long since I saw that movie.
But I could have sworn, like during that, like you hear like the "We don't need no education," and they're like walking around like all zombified and stuff. And I was like, what a creepy song. And like I didn't even know about Pink Floyd. And I was, you know, when did the movie come out? 96 or something. I mean,
95, 96.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, that was humongous. I remember, I still to this day remember the commercials for the movie when they showed like testimonials. Like there was a commercial for it where it was like kids who had already seen the movie right outside the theater. They got to see the sneak preview. And they were like, it's the best movie I've seen in my life. And I remember turning to my parents and being like, I told you it was going to be the best movie ever. Like, I need to see this when it comes out. You know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't take me to wrestling because they wanted me to have nothing to do with pro wrestling for my whole life. Until my dad didn't come around on me liking pro wrestling until like 5 years ago when he realized like how insanely into it. He started listening to some of my podcasts and he was like, dude, I had no idea like you were this knowledgeable about this. Like, I just thought you like were a big fan. Like, I didn't realize, you know, it was the same kind of thing. But with Power Rangers, they let me see the movie. They let me play the video games. I had the video game on the Sega Genesis.
I had the Game Gear video game. And that's another reason why the Green Ranger storyline is so big to me, because that was like the central thing of the Game Gear game was the Green Ranger arc.
Dude, Game Gear. I still have one of those lying around too, man. Those things took like 4 double D batteries or something.
Yo, took the biggest fucking battery. There was only like 3-4 good games for it, and Power Rangers was one of them.
Yes. The only one I remember like actually really playing was, I think they pretty much like modded the original Sonic onto that.
Yeah.
And it was like I could play like Sonic on the go, but you really couldn't, because like I pretty much had to keep it plugged in or else it would die. The battery would die. But anyway, I know that's very true. Like, because I remember the Power Rangers games from the Game Gear, from the Genesis, and they also had them on the Super Nintendo. They had like different versions of Power Rangers games on each platform, which once again just speaks to how popular they were. They were on every platform. Their IP was licensed out everywhere. The movie was huge. And it was also, like I said, it was kind of the turning point, because like at that point, I think the Black Ranger had been replaced, the Red Ranger had been replaced.
I think the Yellow Ranger got replaced. She got replaced by a black girl.
Yeah.
Now the original Black Ranger was the Ranger that I loved. That was the original Ranger that I loved, because I was only, like I said, 5-6 years old. It was very rare that you saw black characters be so integral to a white group, especially like doing karate and all that, saving the world. So I related to Zach, but going back and watching it, they definitely made him a token. I will say that.
That was my next question, actually, because he also, like, he was, like, a break dancer and stuff, which doesn't necessarily make you token, but, like, it was, like, there were definitely some stereotypes there.
It was the dialogue that they gave him. It was the dialogue that they gave him, the little tropes that was very, you know, about black characters in the 90s.
See, I'd have to watch it now to pick up. I would have never, obviously.
Yeah, you would. You definitely pick up more on it. As an adult, watching as a kid, it's just like, I relate to him. He looked like me. I relate to him. But I will say a credit to how popular Tommy was. Tommy was the first Ranger that made me be like, maybe I'll pick him instead of the Black Ranger. Instead of the one that looks like me, I think he's cooler. So I want to be the Green Ranger now.
Well, and this is something that I wanted to ask you about. Like, and I see some stuff in the chat now, kind of along the same lines. Like, there definitely was something to that, right? Like, I mean, like, the Black Ranger was black, the Yellow Ranger was Asian, the Pink Ranger was, like, the white girl. You know what I mean? Just kind of, like, it kind of felt like it felt kind of deliberate that they had done that. And, like, obviously, like, looking back now, as an adult, I'm like, that's kind of weird that they did that. But, like, as a kid, once again, there's no way as a 5-year-old me I could have ever picked up on something like that.
I didn't get it until like years later, until my teenage years. I was like, yeah, that was kind of
when racist. I think Austin St. John, the Red Ranger, might also be like part Native American.
I found out that too, and I was like, yeah, this is all around pretty racist. But also I wanted to mention that I thought that Zach and Kimberly were going to be huge stars outside of Power Rangers, because they were getting a lot of like different shows and movies around that time. Like, immediately after leaving Power Rangers, Zach was on Space Cases on Nickelodeon. Yeah, then years later, he wound up on the last season of Moesha. He was a part of this rap group with Ray J's character over there. So he was in a bunch of different things. He was in Brink too. Yeah, I forgot that. He was in Brink as well. Like, I thought that he was gonna be, you know, one of those Disney actors. He was in a lot of like Disney and Nickelodeon stuff. So I was like, oh, he's gonna be good with work. And then after like the 90s ended, I never really saw him again outside of that one like couple of episodes of Moesha in the last season. So that was it. And then Kimberly, I saw her immediately after in Susie Q, which is still one of my favorite Disney Channel movies of all time, where she dies and then comes back. Like, that's one of my favorite Disney Channel movies, Susie Q. And I would see her come up on like different shows and stuff. And she had just this like pretty face, like you could see, like, and a lot of people still talk about their crush for like Kimberly, the, you know, the Pink Ranger. You would think that she would have wound up like one of these like big like actresses getting a lot of work afterwards, but she never really got anything.
I think, you know, I think especially back then, for whatever reason, I could be totally wrong about this, but like, I think that when you're younger, especially, and you are known specifically for a certain character, it's hard to get past that, especially when it was the 90s.
Look at all the shows we talked about. Like, we talked about Saved by the Bell. Look at all those actresses and actors.
Steve, like, Urkel. Like, that guy was a great actor, Jaleel White. But it's Jaleel, like, everyone just thought he was Urkel. You know, it's just
exactly. Exactly. And they became a parody of themselves to the point that, yeah, he could never play anything outside of Urkel. Screech could never play anything outside of Screech. Not even like the over the top nerdy, goofy characters, like someone like, you know, Zach from Saved by the Bell. He didn't really do anything after Saved by the
Bell.
It's
taking until now. It's like 20 years later, the nostalgia like wave is like, now you can like do that again. It's crazy. Like, exactly. Keenan and Kel is like trying to do Good Burger and stuff. It's like this, now it's like, now it's become cool again. Like, Urkel's out there promoting fucking Urkel weed, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, like, because he's I feel now. Like,
you, since you mentioned him, I feel like Keenan is like the exception to this rule.
Well, no,
like,
Keenan, because he stayed relevant to, like,
I'm like thinking about all the shows, all these 90s shows that we love, that we talk about, and we, you know, we still have nostalgia for years later, and now a lot of these people are coming back. Keenan is the exception because he's always been here. Like, he took his success from like Nickelodeon, transitioned it into, you know, the Mighty Ducks, became a comedian, would wind up on different shows, and then wound up on Saturday Night Live, and then he's just been good riding off of that wave. So he's kind of the exception to the rule. But I do think it's kind of like, I feel like the first group of the Power Rangers, they probably should have had one or two people that had more success. But I would say out of that first group, the ones that did have just a marginal of success was Kimberly and Zach.
Yes. Well, and also, like, I felt if this show was like at its peak and it worked like really well, like now with the same cast, like the Blue Ranger would be seen as like this big like beacon of like LGBTQ plus like support. You know what I mean? Like, the Black Ranger would be like probably in like all forms of media, because like the guy was clearly super talented, and he'd probably be like all these guys would be like huge on social media and like today's day and age. Like Tommy would have probably been an action hero in like big movies after Power Rangers and stuff. Like, all of them, like Kimberly, like you said, Trini, all of them, they were super talented, super likable, super relatable. And it was like they were, you know who I thought was going to be the biggest star, by the way, of that whole era of like kids stuff that didn't do anything, was Josh Server from All That. I thought he was funniest.
Seaver, yeah, Josh Seaver, yeah.
Was that his name? Josh Server?
I think it was Seaver.
But he was like the kid who was like the piece clear
of face.
Huh?
Piece of face.
Yeah, he was, yes. He was the ear boy. He was like the clear like Jim Carrey ripoff.
Yeah.
Like, but he, like, Jim Carrey was humongous then.
Basically, if you go back and watch All That and then you watch A Living Color, you realize that All That was the kids' version of A Living Color. So they, even in the casting, they casted it in a way that resembled In Living Color, and Josh Seaver was Jim Carrey in that sense.
Yeah, that actually makes complete sense. One of the funny, dude, I remember In Living Color when Jim Carrey did the Snow Informer parody. Do you ever see that? He called the Imposter, I think is what he called it. It was so funny, dude. Oh, so funny. Jim Carrey But that was a whole different style of comedy back then. That, like, once again, another moment in time. Like, Jim Carrey stayed, you know, everyone knows who Jim Carrey is to this day. But, like, at one point, around the same time we're talking about now with Power Rangers, there was, like, Dumb and Dumber, The Mask, and Ace Ventura all in one year.
He was in every movie for, like, a three-year period. You couldn't go 3 months without seeing a Jim Carrey movie. Like you said, Mask. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, Cable Guy, Liar Liar. All of those came out within like a 3 year stretch. It was ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, but I'm with you. Like, that's a good point you bring up about, like, it's surprising that, like, these kids from the Power Rangers weren't bigger outside of it. But I think because of the time, that's just how it was. I feel like kind of in the 90s, because now they'd be like these big, like, social media stars. So, like, they would have all these other options, I feel like, outside of it. And people, it's almost kind of like the early days of YouTube, where fans would get, like, upset if they realized you were playing a character. And it's like, I think that sometimes, like, in the 90s, it's just like, I loved you as Zach from the Power Rangers, and you're just always going to be Zach from the Power Rangers. Like, no matter what you do, to me, you were Zach from the Power Rangers. Now I feel like that's changed in a lot of ways. Because once again, we talked about it with so many others. It happened to Macaulay Culkin, it happened to Jaleel White, it happened to so many of these, especially the teenage to child age people that you remember as these cute little kids. And then the next thing you know, like, they're adults, and, like, you know, you move on to the next cute little kid in the movies or whatever, you know? That's just how it worked. It's messed up.
Yeah, it is.
That's why people wind up like Aaron Carter, RIP. You know what I mean? It's like, it's that kind of pattern of, like, taking advantage of kids and then, like, messing with their heads. And then, like, you know, they become adults and you throw them away and stop caring about them at all. And then they don't know what to do. And then, you know, I'm not saying, like, Aaron Carter specifically is the best example of this, but I do feel very, very bad for him. What's happened, you know, that guy definitely didn't deserve to die. And I feel like a lot of people kind of drove him to that. A lot of it was himself, but, like, a lot of it is, like, how much can you blame a guy who, like, these people were talking about, when you're ultra famous at 8 years old and, like, you're surrounded by adults and drugs and money and your parents are taking all of your money from you. And by the time you're an adult, you have nothing to your name and no one wants anything to do with you. And you're not only are you broke, you're in debt. And the pressure it must take for somebody like these Power Rangers or an Aaron Carter type person. Like, think about this. These people's parents would, like, corner them and be like, you know, if you don't do this movie or you don't write this song, like, none of your brothers or sisters are going to get Christmas presents.
Like, they're not going to eat.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, like, well, no, of course. I mean, that's even more, but that's the kind of pressure they're putting on these kids. And, like, and in the 90s, it was way worse because there wasn't stuff to protect the kids and the teenagers. So, like, for all we fucking know, like, the Black Ranger didn't see any of that fucking money. You know what I mean? Like, we have no idea. So, like, now there's actually things in place to where these kids get the money at a certain age and the parents can only take a small percentage of it, like 10 or 15% versus, like, before they would just take all of it.
You hear that so often with the child actors, and then you had the whole situation with Britney Spears and her dad. So yeah, it's getting more and more attention that I would like to learn more about what these, like, the original cast members went through. I can only imagine, and I think Kaden made a point in the chat, is that the reason why they would always, like, overturn the cast is because probably these actors would become known and want more money. So they'd be like, oh no, let's get rid of all of them and then replace it with a whole bunch of actors who are no name. So we don't have to pay them. We could still pay peanuts to these actors because it's the Power Rangers name. It's basically what WWE has done, where the WWE name is the biggest star of the company. I think Power Rangers was the same way. They didn't want anybody really. Tommy was kind of the exception to the rule that just kept coming back. Billy was also kind of there as, you know, helping Zordon and stuff. So he became pretty big. But
kind of like the Screech in New Class.
Yes, yes, yes. Very much so. Billy is the Screech to Tommy Zach. Yes. I would say that is.
Well, I'm saying, but, like, in same about all the New Class.
No, but how he was the assistant principal. Yeah, that's what Billy was for Zordon. He was the assistant Zordon. He was the human form. You know, he was the human alpha.
Oh, Alpha. We haven't talked about Alpha or Zordon. Legend.
Exactly. We haven't yet.
So the creepy Zordon face. But thank you, Caden, for bringing that up, because from what I understand and the little bit of research I've done over the years about this stuff, that sounds like exactly what happened as far as the turnover for the Power Rangers, especially around the time the movie was going to happen. And that's why I think you saw a change like right before the movie. And I even remember there was like the last season, I think, before the movie, there like a couple of the OG Rangers were like only in like a couple of the episodes, like, because they clearly, like, looking back on it, it's like, oh, they were in contract negotiations. Like, that's clearly what was going on. And so like they passed their powers over.
Yeah. I got to go back and watch that, because you peep that type of stuff when you learn the information and then you go back and watch it, because I did something similar with like researching Saved by the Bell before we did that episode and went back and watched it. And you can tell the point in which Telly and Jesse are going through contract negotiation. And that's when Tori comes in to Saved by the Bell. So I was like rewatching it after knowing the story is a lot different. So after knowing this about, you know, the Power Rangers, I do want to watch that season just before the movie to see how they make the transition from, you know, Trina to Aisha, the new Black Ranger, all that stuff.
Yes. So that's, I'm glad that was brought up, because, you know, that just kind of speaks to our whole point about some of this stuff. Like, and for all we know, it's reckless speculation. But like, that might have something to do with some of these actors and actresses not making it bigger, because you never know how it works in Hollywood. You know what I mean? They might have been like, you know, Austin St. John fucking big league me when I was, you know, he was, you know, on Power Rangers and I replaced him. So don't hire him for this role. Like, they might know somebody, you know what I mean? Like, I don't put anything past Hollywood. Like, knowing the stuff we know nowadays.
Especially if you lose the job. Like, you're not making the choice, you lose the job. That ruins your reputation. Look at Janet Dubois, or I think, no, what's her name? From the original Aunt Viv. Her career was done. You saw that in the reunion where she talked about it when she had her whole contract negotiations and she was fired from that role. It basically ruined her life.
Blacklisted from being able to work anywhere else.
Yeah, she had a lot of resentment towards Will for that in that situation. So I would love to find out, like, the kids side to, you know, the company that is in control of Power Rangers and everything, and how the conditions was for them during those years.
Dude, I mean, I absolutely can't guarantee anything, but I can reach out to some of the original Power Rangers. Like they're not like that hard to get in touch with. Like, I don't know if they'll respond or not, but like I said, I know the Red Ranger follows me. I know I could DM him, but I think he's dealing with some legal stuff at the moment. I think he was like, I don't want to speculate because I don't know enough about it, but I saw his name in the news not that long ago, and it had to do with some sort of money, something or other. And I was like, that didn't look good. I'm gonna hit the Blue Ranger. I'd be like, hey man, remember my yarmulke? Like, do you want to come talk about it?
Let's talk about the yarmulke and the working conditions being on the Power Rangers. Let's talk about it live on air.
Dude, this would be interesting. I mean, I wouldn't want to ask now, like Austin St. John, be like, hey, what beef between you and JDF? Because, like, now obviously wouldn't be the best time to ask about that. But, like, I'm sure there was, like, some sort of resentment in some way, because, like, Austin St. John was the leader when the show started, and, like, it clearly became Tommy's crew once he got there. Yeah.
Slowly but surely, they made that transition.
Yeah, they tried for a while to make it seem like kind of co-captains, but then like it was Tommy, especially once he came back as their White Ranger, and it was like, oh, he has like more powers than all, like, even the Green Ranger. Oh, the Dragon Zord is equal to the entire Megazord. Just the one Zord is as good as the entire. Okay.
Yeah, he's definitely the leader, y'all.
Yeah.
He's making the final save.
Okay, yeah, he's the leader.
He's making the final save for everything. Because I think in the early years before Tommy came, weren't they teasing like Jason and Kimberly?
I think Jason got just totally just boxed out. Like I said, like, not only was he the leader of the crew, he was with Kimberly. So it's like, you are the leader, dude. Like, you got the girl they were all trying to get. Like, you're the coolest one. You're the best at martial arts. They would always see him in, like, the, in like the little teen center or whatever. He'd always be like in a heavy bag, like in between like saving the world and stuff.
He's like, I gotta get my workout in.
See, I'm sure. Thank you, Caden. So they outright said it at some point that he's the new leader of the Power Rangers. And see, that's gotta hurt someone like the Red Ranger. It'd be like, it's like I don't know what their relationship was like later, because I think they probably were friendly by now, I would hope, 20 years later, 25 years later. But like, it's kind of like a Woody, Buzz Lightyear, Toy Story type scenario. It's like, the strange things are happening to me. And like the girl's walking away with Tommy instead of you. And like they're handing the leadership over to Tommy. And
Kimberly is Zordon or Andy in this situation.
Yeah. Zordon is, he's traded in his cowboy hat for a spacesuit, and Tommy is the new favorite. That's so funny. That's so stupid, these comparisons I'm making, but
it's so hilarious, but it works.
I felt the same way the other day. I was rearranging some of the stuff in my office, and I was like moving some of my AEW stuff off to the side to replace with some of my newer WWE stuff, and I was like new Cody stuff, and I was like, you know what I mean? Like looking at like my AEW Cody and like my WWE Cody stuff.
He's like, I'm turning on myself, y'all.
Oh no. Like I'm buying like all these WWE elites again recently. The Ultimates. Ultimates are so good, dude.
Am I gonna be an e-drone? So am I gonna be defending them on Twitter?
Yeah. Oh no. See, I need to make sure that I'm very pro AEW and anti WWE when I'm tweeting, but I will continue to buy WWE. I mean, dude, I just bought this, you know what I mean? Like I'm still out there supporting, you know what I mean? Like, but I might not watch the show hardly ever. But you know, it's just funny because it's like it was the same kind of thing. I caught myself in like an Andy type situation where I'm like, you know, I'm like looking at my two toys where I'm like, which one do I display, you know? I love AEW, but this new WWE is kind of getting my interest. Just like
there you go. I love it. Yeah. But anything else that we want to mention about Tommy Oliver, Jason David Frank, or the Power Rangers?
So I do want to touch really quickly on Zordon a little bit more in Alpha. I figure we can go for about another 15 minutes. That'd probably be good. Yeah. Good time at 11 a.m. Eastern. To wrap up, someone clue me in. So there was like an actual arc, I think, with Zordon, where like I think he's eventually shown as a human. I think was that in the movie, maybe.
Oh, maybe
I can't remember
what the second movie or
I don't remember. So like I full disclosure, I never saw the like 2017 Power Rangers that came out because it didn't look like it was. I could tell it was clearly based on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, but it didn't look like it was actually. It seemed like they were just using like, the characters.
I'll be honest. I never watched that 2017.
Me either. So, okay, here's Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome.
Jeremy! How are you? Different set and everything. Look at this guy.
I'm hiding out in one of the kids' room right now because... Yeah, I let the kids use all my gadgets and toys and stuff, and then I feel bad when I kick them off. So I was just like, yeah, I'll hide out in one of their rooms and pop in and say hi. I'm not gonna be able to stay too long, but hi everybody.
Hey Jeremy, what are some of your memories of the Green Ranger, White Ranger, Tommy Oliver, Jason David Frank, Power Rangers in general?
Well, I mean, we talked about it a little bit on Spotlight yesterday, but just that whole storyline where he started off as the bad guy and then they became friends and he became like the central figure in that entire like arc and series and everything and became like the Power Ranger that everybody wanted to be, everything. And you know, like I mentioned yesterday on the show, of like he had that like instructional karate video that I used to watch all the time.
So awesome.
As a kid, which is when I thought of that yesterday, I was like, oh man. Yeah, I used to just come home after school, just put that on and do the moves and stuff. But yeah, he really was like Power Rangers for that whole storyline. So that's my biggest memory is like I associate Power Rangers with him because that whole thing, I think, like really just captivated the entire audience and kind of our generation. Like if you watched Power Rangers, if you knew of Power Rangers, you knew of that storyline.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I mean, me and SPT talked about it at the top of the show too. Like, we talked about it a little on the spotlight, like you said, but like, if you were, I think if you're currently like 30 to 40 years old, like this was massive for you. Like this moment in time of like the mid 1990s, you might be a little older, a little younger and still get it. But like, if you're not like in our pocket, it's like, it's really hard to understand like how huge this was. I remember, as a matter of fact, there was years ago, this was probably back in like, you know, 95 or whatever. I remember there was like some sort of Power Rangers, like convention or meet and greet or something was going down, and the line, like it bled out into the, like there was backups on like the highway for like miles because people, like, once again, this is the 1990s. Like this, there was no social media to like, they weren't accessible. Like, so it was like, wait, the Power Rangers are in my town? I have a chance to go meet them? You had to go drive to go try to meet them in person. And I remember this thing on the news where it was like helicopters flying over and being like, nobody even attempt to get on the highway today. There's massive block-ups for miles. The Power Rangers are in town. That's what's going on. It was just like, that's how big it was. Like, it would cause cities to shut down if the Power Rangers were around in the 90s. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's how popular they were. It was like a craze that kind of swept the nation. But like Jeremy said, and like we said earlier, kind of like the Green Ranger storyline was the thing that kind of made it water cooler talk. It made it, you had to be watching, you had to rush home to watch the next part of that five-part Green with Evil series.
Well, and they also, I mean, I remember that they all came out on VHS tape, that series.
Yeah, that too. Like,
each episode, and I remember there was never this is how vivid I remember these kind of things. I remember learning how to read the word continued because of the Power Rangers. Because I remember it would pop up on the screen, there would be cliffhanger episodes, and it would say to be continued.
Yeah,
and I didn't know what that, I couldn't read it. I was like five, and I was like, and I remember having to like ask my parents like what this meant, because it would show up on multiple episodes. I never knew what it meant. I was like, to be conchuned. I didn't know how to say it. I didn't know what it was. So like,
I love it.
So I remember eventually asking them at the end of an episode, I was like, what's this mean? Like, it keeps popping up on some of the episodes. And they're like, that says to be continued. And I was like, oh, that's always why the next one is like, it's about the one before. So once I realized that, I remember if there was ever an episode that ended to be continued, on my bus ride home from school that day, me and all the kids, we'd get together on like the bus, and we'd be like, the second half of the episode from yesterday is going to be on when we get home. You know what I mean? It was always a big deal getting home in time for the Power Rangers, but to be continued. I literally learned the word continued, how to read that, because of the Power Rangers.
I mean, first off, that's fascinating that Power Rangers has taught Steven Jensen how to read. I do remember like taping those episodes and then watching them when I got home from school and everything. And I think one time my dad had accidentally taped over one of them, and I was very heated at him. I was about to put my karate tapes to use, because this wasn't the Green Ranger story that had already aired and everything by this point. But yeah, I was about to put my karate tapes to use because he taped over one of my Power Rangers episodes, and I was about to, you know, roundhouse kick him in the face and everything. So
yeah,
but yeah, the I'm sure, like, I mean I know the Power Rangers wasn't like the first, you know, series to do like a to be continued type thing, but for a lot of us, like, because it aired right after we got home from school and stuff, for a lot, like, that was the first kind of thing we remember of like, oh, this is like episode arc type thing right now, and this is the first time we're seeing like multi-part episodes, multi-part stories, you know, in television shows, because we didn't watch television in the 80s because we were just babies and everything, and early 90s and stuff, maybe our memory isn't that great, but we're all around the same age. So coming home from school, it's like, I can't wait to see what happened from last week. And the to be continued stuff, like Jensen said, he learned how to read continued from the show.
Yes, Power Rangers educational. So
yeah,
and the format with it coming out like every weekday, it was very reminiscent of soap operas. That's what it really was for us as kids. It was a kids-based soap opera, so it made it kind of like that appointment television that you had to be at your TV after school, the movie was such a big thing. I wanted to ask Jeremy, because we kind of told each other like when our fandom of the Power Rangers kind of faded. Where did it fade for you?
I can't give you like an exact like time or date. It was probably after just like the original stuff. Like I see Caden asking about Astronema, and like I had to Google that. I don't know what an Astronema is. Like once they got into all the spinoffs and stuff, I'm like,
The movie and like right, a little right after the movie, like yeah, the Ninja Power Ranger, and then like it feels like didn't all of us kind of bailed right around that same time, because Must Be Three was saying around that same time Pokemon started popping off, like like obviously a lot of stuff in wrestling. The NWO is like happening,
and that's when wrestling really popped. Because if we're right with the movie coming, I think someone could check when the movie came out. Like 95, 96, that's when 96 is when wrestling really got interesting for both, all three major promotions at that time. So I'm paying attention to that. I got Pokemon over here. I was just getting into sports. Michael Jordan just came back to the Bulls. NBA was interesting. So I had my attention in so many different places. It made it very easy for it to kind of fade with the Power Rangers for me.
Yeah. This is a comment of the year, by the way. Thank you, Caden. Because there's a decent chance JDF is my gateway to being gay. There you go. Dude, I'll tell you what. When I was growing up, I had absolute man crushes on Jason David Frank and Shawn Michaels. Like, I wanted to be both of them so bad. Axl Rose as well from Guns N' Roses. Those were like my three dudes. So, no, I hear you. I guess it never got farther than like me wanting to be them, but it's one of those things where it's like, man,
Shawn Michaels is a good looking man. I get it.
Dude, because that's the thing. Like Jason David Frank, great looking guy with my biggest crush, Kimberly.
Exactly.
Could fight. Like, you know, like my like favorite that color.
CM Punk can't fight.
We've already
dragged him for the CM Punk.
Favorite color is green. You know what I mean? This guy checked every box for me. Like every single box. I was like, I want to be, if I could be this guy, like that would be, I'd be so cool. You know what I mean? Like, and that felt the same way about Shawn Michaels. The funny thing about Shawn Michaels is the way that he's aged. It's like so wild to be seeing what he looks like now. Versus then, but like Jason David Frank always like kind of he seemed like he was still in like really good shape. People call him long-haired stud. He, even with the short hair, he was like a good-looking dude, man. It was just, man, it really, really was. We are not alone. There's a whole generation of people that like we all wanted to be like Tommy Oliver.
Yeah,
like that was he was badass. He was the man. And me and SP3 were talking about it before. We think it might be kind of a product of just like being the 90s and getting typecasted, like kind of like a Steve Urkel or like a, you know, like a Screech type scenario. But like, do you think that's kind of why like none of these Power Rangers like were really bigger outside the show? Cause it feels like Jason, if this was happening now with like social media and like they were like big on like Instagram or whatever nowadays, guys like Jason David Frank and women like, you know, was it Amy Jo Johnson?
Yeah,
Amy Jo Johnson. Like they would be like really big in things like outside of Power Rangers, where it feels like in the 90s, like they kind of never did anything outside of Power Rangers. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it was. I think for a lot of people in the 90s, like they didn't go on to. I mean, I'm sure there are plenty who had success, but a lot of these TV shows, they were just like in that one little area. I mean, we're all Saved by the Bell fans. Screech was definitely like a typecast thing, but like. Even nobody from them broke out. Like you kind of would think they would break out. Like Tiffany Amber Thiessen did like a couple of shots on movies and TV shows. But,
yeah,
I think we all thought like, you know, looking back, like she should have been like the biggest thing in the world. Cause you know, us as horny little teenagers and stuff.
She was, like, basically the Pink Ranger equivalent of like she was everyone's first crush. Like if it wasn't the Pink Ranger, it was like Kimberly or
Kimberly, Kelly or Topanga.
Boy Meets World, like none of them went on to like they all like had some success in various areas and stuff, but I don't think any of them really went on to just be this like major thing that we all thought they probably were going to be at the time. Mario Lopez is the best example. He had the staying power and stuff, and Mark Paul Gosselaar had some nice little roles and stuff,
but he never got this assist that everybody thought he was. He was right. Like a 90s icon. But I agree with you with like Boy Meets World. I've been researching them as of late, and Ben Savage didn't even act after Boy Meets World because he was on there from 12 years old for 8 years until adulthood. He's 19, 20 years old. Dude went like a decade without even acting. So like a lot of those people and a lot of the older actors were kind of aged out and they had their role to kind of put their career on. Danielle Fischel, she did more of like writing and directing and producing. Real Friedle is actually the most successful one for Boy Meets World because he did a lot of voice acting, but not even live action stuff. None of those people did that. And we said the same thing with the Power Rangers, except that Zach and Kimberly, they got success like immediately after, but then that faded. Like Zach was on Space Cases on Nickelodeon. Kimberly was on Susie Q. I still say it. One of the best Disney Channel movies of all time.
We'll have to do a whole episode at some point on just Disney Channel original movies here because I think that Johnny Tsunami still holds up to this day as one of the best movies of all time.
I think Brink still. I watched Brink recently. Brink still rules.
And that has that extra level of like Spike from Little Giants is in that. So it's kind of like
Zach's double in that. Yeah.
That's right. And Zach, of course, the Black Ranger is in that as well. But yeah, no, you were right. I mean, so many of these. But that's a really good point though about like Boy Meets World and stuff. Any of these shows where the kids are growing up like throughout the series and it's a long running show, it's kind of hard for them to really do anything outside that show because they're committed to being on this one thing for so long. And then they get known as just that thing. And it's hard for them to be seen as anything else.
Yeah.
Like Ryder Strong is another good example from Boy Meets World. Yeah. Like he's another one who I thought was going to be like way bigger than he wound up being. But here's the thing. It seems like these people are doing well, just like behind the scenes or doing voice acting and stuff. So like, that's good to know. Mario Lopez, of course, he's stayed relevant throughout the years.
That man was on the Thanksgiving parade yesterday with his daughter, some high case of nepotism, just bringing his daughter on these floats and everything.
This man is just like the host of everything.
He does. He really is hosting everything. He really is. He hasn't aged like a day either.
No, that's the other great thing. Like, he hasn't aged at all. So it's still AC Slater.
Yeah, 100%.
The amount of steroids he had to have been doing while on that show, though. Seriously, he was so big on Saved by the Bell. And then, like, he's just like an average. I mean, he's in good shape. I know he boxes and stuff. Like, I'm not taking anything away. But, like, I think Mario Lopez is like an actual badass, but like, he's so much smaller now than like when he was in like a high schooler in Saved by the Bell. It's just kind of funny to see that because if you've never seen Saved by the Bell, look at what AC Slater looks like in that show. He is, and plus he's got like the Jerry Curl mullet going and stuff. And he's like Scott Steiner. You know what I mean?
Like, yes, he is. He's like young Scott Steiner with the Steiner brothers. Absolutely.
I hear the kids yelling about something, so I'm very afraid about what I'm going to walk into. But so I'm going to go make sure everything is okay out there. Guys, thank you guys. Thank you guys for all your hard work. Hope you guys had a happy Thanksgiving. Yes. I'll talk to you guys next week. I'll see you on Thursday, Jensen, SP3. I'll see you on Tuesday. Bye.
Tuesday for Jameson.
Oh, yeah. I'll see you then. But Thursday, main show. Yes, we will have Jensen. I hope you survive on Sunday. I got six people messaging me now. So another person, they took time out of their Thanksgiving to message me and said, I'm going to beat the shit out of Steven Jensen for you. I said, I appreciate that. Happy Thanksgiving to you. So six people, watch your back on Sunday. All right.
All right. I'm ready.
Bye, everybody.
Hey, dude.
Peace, dude.
Yeah, I'm doing some commentary for, a company called CD, I always get messed up, CDW, Championship District Wrestling, here out of Atlanta. Nice. And Jeremy's been saying he's been contacting some people to jump me at the show. That's probably a pretty good time to start wrapping up. Any other thoughts you want to throw out there? I want to say this real quick. I did not know until just now. I was looking through the chat. I think it was Caden who said it. I missed it, though. It was a little bit higher up. But I guess Zordon was the original Green Ranger, and they explained that at some... Sorry, the original Red Ranger, and they explained that at some point.
They explained that in the new movie, I think he said.
So there's a lot of Power Ranger lore that I'm very, very behind on that I am interested in knowing. So I actually today, I probably will spend some time watching some of the original show. hitting my bongos, as Matt Riddle would say, and watching some Power Rangers today, and just have a good time, a little nostalgia and some fond memories of Jason David Frank. I fucking hate this guy has passed away. It really, really, really bothers me. And here's the thing. If you need help, if you feel helpless, like I can't get in your own minds. And sometimes it just is what it is. I just don't know what else to say. Like, but please reach out for help. Like, people care about you. No matter if you believe it or not, like, someone out there does care. I've said it before. I said it on the spotlight. Jeremy did on Thursday. If you want to reach out to me, something's going on. Like, I'm always willing to listen and help. Like, any time, no matter who you are. Like, so, even someone like Jason David Frank, who clearly had so much love around him and so many fans, you know, the mental health is a motherfucker. You know what I mean? So it's just like I hate that this has happened. And there's a whole generation of kids that it feels like we lost. I mean, I shouldn't say it feels like we lost one of our heroes, when Jason David Frank passed away. So, I'm going to be just as big as a fan as I ever was. I'm going to keep buying my Green Ranger stuff, my White Ranger stuff, and keep building my collection and, keep supporting the guy and keeping his name out there in a positive light. Because like I said, he meant so much to us in our generation. He really is one of my heroes, and he was a true martial artist. I want to really get that across. Like, this wasn't some, once again, some bullshit Steven Seagal, like pretend fighter, like actor celebrity type thing. Like, he was a true, true martial artist who deserves a ton of respect for what he accomplished in that world and in his own disciplines and stuff that he's created and how many people he's helped along the way for you know, almost three decades, you know? So it's like, I don't know how old he was when he passed, but I know he'd been out in the public eye for like three decades. So like, that's the last thing I guess I'll kind of say about that is rest in peace, Jason David Frank. Go, go Power Rangers. I hate that this has happened, but I hate that I never got to meet the guy, but he really meant a lot to my life, and he still does. He still will. As long as the Power Rangers have toys that I can buy and I can watch their shows every now and then, that'll always be a part of my life in some way, shape, or form. So,
absolutely. My final remarks is I hope that throughout the past hour and a half, you kind of understand how big the Power Rangers were for the 90s. And it's still big to this day. Like, there's kids that there's another generation of Power Rangers fans, you know, someone like Caden in the chat, who's, you know, at least a decade and a half younger than me and Jensen, he loves it. And he's watched more of the newer generation of stuff. So awesome. Different generations have fell in love with the Power Rangers, and different generations appreciate what Jason David Frank has been able to give us as fans. Like, he is definitely the GOAT Power Ranger, the greatest Power Ranger of all time, and a very skilled individual, a very genuinely nice person from all accounts. He is a bona fide icon of television, of, you know, the Power Rangers, of everything. So, you know, he's going to be sorely missed by all of his fans, definitely his friends and his family. But as one of his friends, I just want to say, Jason David Frank, thank you. Thank you for everything that you were able to give us as fans.
Yes. Absolute bona fide legend, GOAT of Power Rangers. I'm not even joking when I say this. I will probably get some sort of green/white ranger inspired tattoo at some point. Like, I thought about it. I think I'm gonna get like a little dagger and a Saba sword like somewhere on me. My kind of the ones that I need to get are the I have some that I need to cover, because like I got some tattoos when I was younger that I just don't care about it anymore, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm 20. But like, not anything like that, just stuff I just don't really care about anymore. But I need to get I got to get a Cody Rhodes American Nightmare tattoo. That's definitely going to happen at some point. If the Vikings ever win the Super Bowl, I'll get a Vikings tattoo, but I won't do it unless they win the Super Bowl, because it's too weird to get, like, if they don't win, it's too weird. And then that's the next one on the list right there, is a little Green Ranger dagger, a little White Ranger Saba sword. And if anyone else is down, if you're a big Power Rangers fan, and maybe we'll do this like during like a wrestling meetup, if there's something in Atlanta coming up anytime soon. We're like, there's a bunch of wrestling fans in town, and we all want to go to like a local tattoo place and get some like Green Ranger tattoos. I'm down. Like,
do it.
Let's do it. So, so yeah. As far as the stuff I got going on, I'll just plug it real quick. This Sunday, the Fightful Select Weekender podcast, I'll probably record it Saturday night. I don't know yet, but I'll be busy on Sunday doing the commentary and stuff at Championship District Wrestling. Caden said it hard to kill. Let's do it. Hey, there's a very good chance I'll be at Hard to Kill in Atlanta. I'm down. Like if you're in town for that, yeah, let's do it. Let's get some white Ranger, Green Ranger tattoos. I'm down. Fightful Select Weekender podcast, that'll be up sometime this weekend on fightfulselect.com, and watch the spotlight every Thursday, myself and Jeremy Lambert, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. This upcoming episode, we will have an interview with Jameson Ryan and Diamond Sheik, two people who run the CDW show that I'm doing. So they'll be returning guests once again on the show. We'll be interviewing them on Tuesday, and you'll hear it Thursday, and we'll tell you where to watch the show and everything that I'm a part of and all that stuff. So, what about you, SP3? What you got going on?
You can follow me on the Twitter machine at True Hill SP3. I'll be live on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel in about an hour and a half, less than an hour and a half, 12:30, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Myself and Jimmy McAram talking about and reviewing this week's AEW Dynamite. We didn't have an episode yesterday for Thanksgiving. We got it today. So join us live, 12:35 p.m. Eastern time over there on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel.
There you go. The next time you see me and SP3 here, don't know the date yet, but it'll be sometime, probably the next few weeks. We will be reviewing Mighty Ducks Game Changers Season 2. There's one episode left. I'm very much looking forward to it. For full disclosure, I think it's been a really good season. But there have been some misses that I want you to wait to talk to SP3 about, especially because some of these misses could be redeemed by the end of the last episode potentially as well, depending on what they do. So yes, you'll hear about us reviewing Mighty Ducks Game Changer Season 2 the next time you see us here on the show. For SP3, I am Steven Jensen. You can follow me on Twitter at @FightTalk_. Follow SP3 at @TrueHeelSP3. You guys have a great rest of your holiday weekend. Be safe. And see ya.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.